And we're crossing to Hong Kong now to catch up with Tom Grundy, the editor of the Hong Kong Free Press. Good evening, Tom.
Hi from Hong Kong. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. But I believe it's been another tumultuous week in Hong Kong. Elections, you say, are now in lockdown. What does that refer to?
Well, if you move around the city, buses, bridges, metro stations, the TV, websites are all blaring this message of ensuring patriots rule Hong Kong, improve the election system. And if you're ready for this, I've tried to boil it down because it's deliberately very complicated as to the points that are going to be changing as we go into legislative elections in December and the big ones for the chief executive, the city's leader, next year. But most of all, we're going to see the vetting of candidates via an election committee, just like they do with the city's leader for lawmakers. Next, we're going to see potential lawmakers also being vetted by the National Security Police from now on. So you're basically triggering an investigation into yourself over possible seditional subversion if you do dare to stand for election. They're changing the number of lawmakers' seats, to increasing it to 90, but only 20 will actually be democratically elected. The others, as usual, are going to be filled by corporate or special interest groups. We're talking like the accountancy sector or fisheries or rural groups or banks, mostly always loyal to Beijing. And the rest will be filled by that aforementioned election committee. So there's a lot of voting for oneself in a loop, I suppose. And then you have the vetting of the vetters. That election committee is going to be made up of current lawmakers, groups friendly to Beijing, and actual Beijing political figures. Pro-democracy figures like the local district councillors have been kicked out. And very briefly, the other points that we're seeing are sectors that tended to be voting pro-democracy in that committee, like the legal sector, media and tech sector, they've been thrown out. We've seen gerrymandering with pro-democracy districts split up. And they're probably going to make it illegal to call for boycotts of elections or protest votes, 3 years in prison for that. So it seems that they've got multiple ways of locking these elections down to make sure that it's almost impossible for any opposition or pro-democracy figures to stand again in a local election.
Lockdown, indeed. And I was interested in Kent Ewing's article in the Hong Kong Free Press. It's very provocative towards the Chinese government. He says, the outrages perpetrated by the Hong Kong and central governments over the past 2 years have been so brazen and so numerous that most Hong Kongers have numbed their political psyche in preparation for the next almost certain assault on the civil liberties they once took for granted. Are you worried that there will be some backlash for publishing that?
At the moment, we have not particularly changed what we've been doing every day. I mean, it's the hard news stuff I'm really seeking to safeguard, and we're having, you know, daily conversations about that. Apple Daily has suffered 4 or 5 days of intense scrutiny by the pro-Beijing press, which, of course, is often an arm of the Chinese state. And, you know, as we always chat about, press freedom is in free fall. Jimmy Lai was jailed again last week, is already in jail, awaiting trial in a national security case, facing life in prison. Tomorrow, we've got a journalist in court who may be in prison for 2 years for checking some public records over a police documentary she was making. The police chief himself on Friday said that the security law may be used to tackle fake news, which seemed to appear to be news that he doesn't like, because he was referring to a couple of photos that were juxtaposed, which were real photos, on the front of the Apple Daily. Just in recent days, we've seen calls for the shutdown of Apple Daily entirely. I don't know if they're going to survive the year. I don't know if we get more fire cover, you know, or rather under the radar, being in English. But, it's hard not to be concerned when you see this kind of train speeding towards you, I suppose. But we have not been, you know, taking down or denying any op-eds at the moment, for sure.
Right, so you're only in English.
Yeah, we're an international local outlet or a local international outlet. I mean, talking about what Kent was referring to there, I guess there is a numbness not just in journalism as to what's going on and how normalised some of this Orwellian language of patriots, you know, ruling Hong Kong has become. But it's probably not entirely fair to say there hasn't still been some forms of resistance here, and I know a few days ago we did an explainer about just how Hong Kongers have been seeking to resist. It's just a lot more subtle nowadays. For instance, queuing for pro-democracy stores or to go to court, when clearly there's only a handful of seats in court, but it becomes a sort of de facto protest, if you will. People are still frequenting pro-democracy stores or going to very small 3 or 4 person socially distanced, COVID-friendly demos in the street. We've seen sort of online protests in games, people going to vigils to mark certain incidents from the 2019 protests. You'll see yellow masks occasionally and question if someone is making a statement there. But a lot of fundraising has gone online, and you sometimes see these blank protest placards, or some people just very prominently reading the Apple Daily in a group in public. So you're still seeing these mini acts of resistance, as much as our columnist there, you know, who said it's all doom and gloom.
And you had in Hong Kong the first National Security Education Day. What did that entail?
Right. Well, during this day, I think it was last Thursday, children as young as 3 were learning about subversion, succession, terrorism, and collusion with foreign forces. There was a lot of police pomp and ceremony at certain open days where they did a terror attack drill. The thing that really caught the international headlines was the introduction of goose-stepping, Chinese Communist Party-style goose-stepping. But of course, rather than the British drill that we're used to in Hong Kong, of course, the thing that springs to mind, perhaps apart from Basil Salty, is the Third Reich sort of vibes when we see that kind of thing. But it was reported quite proudly in Chinese state media that that was going to happen. And aside from all the posters all over the city urging patriots ruling Hong Kong, we've seen promos for this National Security Day urging people to safeguard national security, cyber security, cultural security, space and polar security. And we also saw photos from that day emerge of children running around with replica grenade launchers during these police open days, which raised a few eyebrows, as well as school activities where children were writing pro-Beijing sort of nationalist messages on colourful post-it notes in the same vein that you would see these so-called Lenin walls during the pro-democracy movement. But instead of messages urging democracy, one child had written, I'm willing to obey the country's arrangements and forever devote myself to the People's Republic of China and the party. So really odd to see these kinds of messages on these colourful post-it notes from children. But this was kind of the drill after the Tiananmen massacre in China, and we saw a new generation, you know, born into this new era in China, who became very patriotic. So, you know, who knows, you know, what will happen as these children grow up and a lot of the resistance movement right now either go into exile or are jailed.
New Zealand, too, in the news in regard to China, with our foreign minister saying that we won't let the Five Eyes intelligence alliance that comprises of the US, Canada, UK, Australia and New Zealand, we won't let that Five Eyes alliance dictate our dealings with our largest trading partner, which is, of course, China. Is that being reported there?
Yeah, we picked up some newswire on Nania Mahuta's comments, and she's been accused before, I understand, over Thailand of putting the economy over human rights. But as you know, the security alliance is made up of the UK, the US, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. And it's been all but New Zealand who have been putting out statements condemning particularly what's been happening in Hong Kong. With New Zealand being the odd one out there, of course, it's just entered a free trade deal with Beijing. They've probably got, I imagine, one eye on Australia too, with the tariffs and the big fight Canberra's got into with Beijing. But what NGOs are urging for, and Biden and the alliance, is for a more of a united front when it comes to a rising China at the moment, particularly on these issues of Xinjiang and Hong Kong. Because you see what happens, I suppose, when you don't have a united response. And if you're a smaller country like Sweden or Norway, you can be pushed around a lot, I suppose, if you dare to upset Beijing.
Well, before we go, Tom, I wanted to say thank you very much because we received your Hong Kong Free Press goodie bag that you promised us.
You're welcome. Maybe I need to get this stuff out of the office. You know, we had trouble printing some of the stuff, and and getting it out of the factory in China. So now we do a lot of that manufacturing locally.
I heard that about the Freedom Tote Bag. What was the story behind those bags?
We were told we couldn't get them printed, or were they confiscated? I can't remember, but this was before the national security law. And they're designed by the Chinese-Australian artist Badu Chao, whose art exhibition we actually had to cancel just before that because his family were threatened. So a lot of drama even before the biggest drama, you know, in Hong Kong. But now, to be honest, it's getting tougher to get things printed like that, even just involving the word freedom under the context of press freedom. We're about to make some T-shirts with simply the words press freedom and basic law article 17, the citing the law that guarantees and enshrines press freedom. So I'm hoping, you know, we won't get any trouble just citing a legal passage on our latest merchandise. But enjoy the tote bag, because I don't know if we're printing that design again.
Fantastic. And I've got the cup right in front of me. Hong Kong Free Press, had my coffee out of it tonight. Non-profit,
lovely.
Run by journalists, fully independent. Thank you for sending it.
Thanks for having me. Cheers. Bye for now.
Bye for now. That's Tom Grundy from the Hong Kong Free Press.